This is our School of the Spirit service, and in particular, our emphasis is on what we call Christian perfection. So we call it the School of Perfection, which we're teaching on how the church should grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, which indeed is the next thing on God's, as it were, spiritual timetable for the church. We are living in a time in human history that is totally unprecedented. I was talking to, I think it was Pastor Wiley Choir yesterday night, you know, we were just sharing, it was his 25th wedding anniversary, and he said, you know, the world is a completely different place. Just 25, you know, I remember it like yesterday. Just 25 years ago, 1993. That was when we brought Jim Croft. Can you remember? Yeah. 92, Papa Ralph came and taught on pregnation in July. And then in December, we had the ministry on Esther. You know? And the world has totally changed just in those few years. You know, and we can see all the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like we said so many times, he's going to first of all come in the church in the perfection, the fullness of Christ, as revealed when the Bible says, until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it goes on to say that we may grow up into him in all things. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, the works that he did, we will do also. So certainly, there has to be a manifestation of this perfection and fullness of God and the glory of God in the church. We also shared recently the fact that in John 17, Jesus' prayer, you know, is recently that light. It's always been there, but I saw that light in a far greater way. Now, without the glory, the church cannot be perfected. You know, we often think that it is when we get perfected that the glory will come, but it's exactly the opposite. You know, it is the glory that that finishes. We're already being perfected. We're, you know, it's perfecting. It's a present continuous word. That process is taking place, but the finishing of it is the glory. It's the glory that will finish that perfection, perfect our hearts, the inside, the soul and the body, and then go on to perfect our unity, you know. And it is that same glory that will now cause the world to know. The world cannot know without the glory, because it will be manifest and everybody will see it, so they will know. You know, you know something that is manifest. You don't have to believe. You believe for something you cannot see, when it's still invisible, and then you're trusting God, you're speaking in tongues, you're confessing the word, you're still believing. But once it manifests and you see, you don't believe anymore, you know. The Bible said that the world may know. And so, we're in that time of trusting God and seeing this glory to come, so that, you know, we can get the job done. We still have a lot of work to do. Even after the glory comes, the scripture reveals to us that we will then go to the nations. You know, and then every tribe, tongue, and kindred will be visited with that glory. Now, not all of them will accept it, but they will be visited with it. There will be no place on the earth that will not be visited with that glory. Now, some will accept it, some will not. And we'll take our glory and go away with it, praise the Lord. And they will go back into darkness. But they will not say they were not visited. And it is then the Lord Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto every ethnos for a witness. Then the end will come. So tonight, Pastor Dewey is going to come and minister the word to us along these lines. Praise the Lord. Pastor Dewey. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here this evening. Thank you so much for honoring us with your presence. Lord, we do not desire to go any step further, but we desire that your presence will increase in the atmosphere. As we go into your word this evening, Lord, I duck under the cover of myself, spiritual fathers, pastor and mommy. I'm trusting that, Lord, in their life we all see light and things they've been sharing, even to us in this house, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray as your word goes forth, let it go forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as I go to your word, you anoint me afresh. Lord, as I put all of my confidence in your mercy to be faithful, to bring out of the treasure of your things, both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Lord, please help me to redeem time of the state things that are unnecessary. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love, for your help. Thank you for covering in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for another opportunity to share God's word today. And before I go any further, I would like to acknowledge, not religiously, but as a fact, my spiritual parents, pastor and mommy, for the years of sacrifice, for what they have taught us over the years. And we do ourselves a lot of good to take to them, especially in this season. Pastor has sent some things to us recently, you know, that has just further confirmed what we've been hearing all these years, which means that we are right at that time. And like the Bible says, that in the book of John, 1st John, says that I desire that my children walk in truth. It's because as we walk in this truth in this time, we are right among the first of the first fruits to manifest the glory. I'm talking about distilled instruction, you know, not things in visions and dreams. That's how you know the people that God speaks to face to face. He gives them distilled instruction. Like this for Moses, he wrote down the 10 commandments. You shall do this, you shall not do that. Praise the Lord. So based on this thing they've been sharing with us, I'm not just reading this evening. I'm trusting God for his mercy to be faithful. We're sharing with us this evening, I titled the message, Presenting Our Bodies a Living Sacrifice. Let's say it together, Presenting Our Bodies a Living Sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. It's very important. After the year message, I was meditating on some of those things, and then God started speaking to me. What does he say? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Next verse. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is what? Good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That means if you don't follow the first step of presenting your body as a living sacrifice, the world would what? Will conform you to his mold, and then you'll not be able to prove what is good, acceptable, or the perfect will of God, which is God's ultimate purpose for us. Praise the Lord. So we notice two words there. It says holy. Let's say holy and acceptable. That means you can present your body and then it will not be acceptable to God. Like the sacrifice of Cain. Bible said that God was not pleased with the sacrifice. And we know why. Because he did not offer that sacrifice by shedding blood, which their father must have told them. Praise the Lord. So it says holy. Holy speaks here of inner and outward holiness in conduct. Pastor was sharing about that with us last year and also during the watch night service. And like I said, it must be acceptable. There's a reason why God wants us to do this. We've been doing it over the years. But you see, we've come to that moment where it is very important for us to make sure that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And this speaks in the Old Testament of the burnt sacrifice. Let's say burnt sacrifice. It speaks of a burnt sacrifice. That's why the Bible, the book of Leviticus chapter 9, and read from verse 1. That's why it's very, very important. Well, this year has been this has been prophesied that this is a year of the witness of new births, new beginnings, and upgrade. And while Pastor was sharing, I can remember clearly, he said that it is spiritual upgrade that forms the foundation for every other upgrade. This new birth, in which you are going to birth the life of Christ in our mortal body. He said it forms the foundation for every other. So we need to take this aspect of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 9 verse 1. What does it say? And it came to pass on the what? On the eighth day. What did God say? That Moses, on the eighth day, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Let's go to verse 2. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for what? A burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. So stop there for a minute. Just me explain. You see, at the eighth day, this 2018, right? So it's important for us. Eight stands for number of new beginnings. No, Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, 7 days rested. So that means the eighth day was the new beginnings, as we've been taught. So on this eighth day, God calls Moses, and he tells him to call Aaron and his sons, not everybody. We're going to get there later, because as I said, he's going to purify the sons of Levi, not everybody. It is when he purifies the sons of Levi that purification, that is the tight company that is now going to make the offering of Judah and Israel acceptable. So it's not everybody that will go through that purification process. So it's Aaron and his sons. That is very important. Now let's go to verse 24, and it happens on the eighth day. And there God came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Go back to verse 4. Verse 4. See, God told him, he said, when you do this thing, I will appear unto you. Also, a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today, the Lord, the eighth day, will appear unto you. We are all waiting for the appearing of the Lord in us. As we've been taught, you know, first of all, appear in us. Then he also take us away at the rapture. Then he will come with us. But we are right now at this 8th day, 2018 has been prophesied. Like Pastor said the other day, I'm getting ahead of myself. He said that according to Sarah, he said, according to the time of life, he said that Sarah shall give birth to a son. So, and he said, when he said it last year, we'll take it to this year. This year is very, very critical. And that just speaks of the same thing. It's just using different types and shadows to explain it. On the eighth day, God told Moses and said, present Aaron and his sons before me, and then offer these offerings. When you offer this offering, he said, the day you do it, I will appear unto you. And how did he appear? He didn't appear physically. His glory was manifested. And what happened? Everybody fell on their faces. Reminds me of when Elijah at the Mount Carmel. Praise the Lord. So let's look at it. It says a living sacrifice. Let's living sacrifice. For something to be a living sacrifice, then that means there must be a dead sacrifice. Right or wrong? So what does it mean to be? Let's look at it from a negative point of view. Dead sacrifice. A dead sacrifice speaks of a body that is controlled or dominated by the sin nature. You see, that sin nature acts as an insulator to the power of God. It does not allow the power of God to flow from the spirit to the soul and to the body. So it insulates the power of God. And for them, so that what makes the dead sacrifice. So each morning, when you present that body being dominated or controlled by the sin nature, are you following me? It's a dead sacrifice. God cannot use it. So when you present it, God cannot use it. Because of what I said, I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There's no way God can use that body. Because that body will want to use God. I follow, because of the sin nature that will control it. So that's what makes our body a dead sacrifice, being controlled by the sin nature in the soul, and in particular in the body. And then the Bible speaks about the flesh, speaks about the soul and the body, residual nature in the soul and in the body. As Christians, as we all know, for those who are hearing for the first time, you know, we don't have any sin nature again in our spirits and we get born again. So we still have a sin nature in our soul and our body to contend with. And that's what hinders us from presenting this body a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 8 verse 10, just to put the scripture behind it. Romans 8:10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is it? And if Christ be in you, the body is what? Dead. Why? Because of sin, as a noun. But the spirit is what? Life, because of righteousness. The spirit that is talking about your human spirit, the recreated human spirit. Now, what makes it a living sacrifice, like I said in passing, I'll just read it, is a body that is filled with life of God, in which the life of God is dominant, or it has free, can move out freely without any hindrance. The life of God, there's no more hindrance there. That insulator has been subdued, has been totally removed. I follow him. So that marks a living sacrifice. Romans 8, verse 11. Just move to the next verse. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that does what? Raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by spirit that dwelleth in you. So you see, same thing. We don't have to open there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11 speaks about it. Verse 4, verses 10 and 11. Says that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4 says that in this tabernacle we do groan, that the life of God my mortality might be swallowed up of life. You can put it on the board. So this is the thing we are talking about. But see, that's why God is saying to us prophetically at this time that we must present ourselves. Why? Because it's the eighth day, a day of new births, new beginnings, and upgrade. Are you following me? So that is why this message is it's a short message just to exhort us. So that's what makes it a living sacrifice. And it says something. It says that I beseech you. Paul was begging the Christian. He said, brethren. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot present their bodies. It is Christians that can present their bodies. A living said, I beseech you, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God. If you notice, mercies there is plural. Because it's going to take the mercy of God to present that body. It was some time ago when I was leading one hour before, and I was being tossed to and fro a bit by my flesh. I had not done things I should have done spiritually. And then God spoke to me about the burnt offering. And he said that the fire on the burnt offering must never go out. So I understood what he meant. That is, your prayer life and your walk in the spirit has dropped. So my flesh started controlling me. You know, I couldn't control my thoughts and everything. So, you see, what are we saying? In this 8 day, it takes the mercy of God to present that body a living sacrifice. Why? The Bible says in Formula, I think it's in John chapter 5, that the whole world lies under wickedness. You see, Satan, through the prince, is called the prince of power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. It begins to impinge upon our physical bodies. I follow him. That's why he said, that's why if in Romans later on, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. Satan is not going to allow us to just present that body just like that, or to carry the glory of God. So he acts from the air against our flesh, against our wills, our emotions, not to make us to disobey God. I follow him. So, but as we all know, Paul said there, said it's going to take the mercy of God. Mercy, say mercies. Not just one mercy. As you've noticed in recent times, like Pastor has taught us, when we are praying, we keep asking for mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You know why? Because it is going to take the mercy of God. You see, the Bible says it is not of him that willeth, it is not of him that runneth, but of whom God showeth mercy. And you know, mercy is the life of God giving to us from the outside. Grace works from within. So that willing and that running that you do by your grace, Paul said, I've labored more than they, yet not I, but the grace of God has me. You see, it's going to, now the same Paul now comes and says, guys, I've understood something. You know, it is not just laboring by grace, that is important. But let me put it as it puts, it says in Isaiah, Psalm 89 also. It says, mercy and truth must meet together. Psalm 85, you see, mercy and truth. Said, then shall glory dwell in our land. You see, we'll be running and willing by our grace, but now we need the mercy of God. Psalm 85, I think. I don't know the exact verse. You know, talking about the glory we are expecting. Okay, go back to 9. 10, yes. It says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that what? Glory may dwell in our land. Now, how would that glory dwell in our land? Next verse. Mercy and what? Truth. Truth stands for grace there. Are what? Met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. For glory to dwell in our land, it must be a consequence of the mercy of God from the outside. Are you following me? And then the grace of God working from within. So when those two come together, there will be an explosion. Are you following me? So when that explosion takes place, then the glory of God is not just going to appear, it's going to dwell. Permanent abode in our physical bodies. And it will dwell permanently. So it's very important. Mercy is very important. So we need to understand that. And we've been taught, you know, mercy does basic three things that we've been taught. You know, delivers from being consumed. I don't have time to turn to Lamentations. So, and then it's also what helps us to be faithful. And it also helps us to triumph. Now, that same mercy, we need to channel it in one particular area. By the mercies of God, we must present what? Our bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our what? Reasonable service. And after all these things we've been taught, we've learned all these years, is the only reasonable thing to do. To do anything otherwise would be foolish or unreasonable. Praise the Lord. So like I said, that is why it is very important for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, let's now, I was just thinking about it. I just want to mention it in passing. You see why it is important for us to present our bodies. I mentioned by the glory of God. You see, the world have been waiting to see the Lord. I won't turn there. Somewhere in Isaiah, it says that his visage was so mad that they could not recognize him. Talking about, in a sense, when Christ hung on the cross, he didn't look like a man again. Or let me put it this way, he no longer looked like the Christ that he knew. But the next verse says, suddenly, in Amplified, they will startle the nations. So you see, between that period of time, that world is seeing now, they look at the body of Christ. I follow him, they don't see the Christ. Even though we call ourselves the body of Christ, and yet we proclaim that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Because why? The image has been marred by the sin nature. Marred there, it means, I checked, it means to be defaced or disfigured, distorted. So they don't see the Christ again. I follow me. So, but in, I think in Isaiah 52, I'll keep talking, you can just put it there. You know, 52, 14, 14, yeah, Amplified explains it better. Okay. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so mad, more than any man, and his form, more than the sons of men. And we are supposed to be conformed to his image. What people see is this. Next verse. And now says that. Next verse. It says, so shall he sprinkle many nations, and the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which they had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Put Amplified. You see, this is what they see now. What they see is verse 14. But between verse 14 and verse 15, we begin to present our bodies daily. You see, what they have not been told, they will now see, as Christ manifests in our bodies. Like Pastor was sharing earlier on. You see, what will be the glory that manifests that will finish that work. There's that song that we see, because I've been toiling and toiling and toiling, like the disciples, you know, they are rowing, trying to get to the other side against the storm. Today you go, they will push you back. You know, but all of a sudden, Christ appeared in that vessel. And immediately, they got to the other side. That is why you cannot afford to give up on this eighth day. What we need to do is more diligent and just keep doing it. It just man 4-7, get up again. Christ about to appear in that vessel. And immediately appears, you just cross, get to the other side, suddenly. How about we sing that song? Finish now thy new creation. Pure and spotless, let us be. It is the appearing that will finish all that we do. But see, the important thing is this. We must be presenting ourselves daily. So why? Verse 15, okay, thank you, sir. Amplify verse 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So shall what? He startle and sprinkle what? Many nations. And kings shall shut their mouths. Because what? The Lord is in the holy temple. Yet all the earth keep silent. I just took that scripture. Are you following me? He says that shut their mouth because of him. For that which has not been told them, shall they shall see. And that which they have not heard, shall they consider and understand. By the time of Solomon, the queen of Sheba came. He said the half has not been told. You see, we are trying to explain this thing to we ourselves now, but we don't fully know what God wants to us. The eye has not seen. When this thing begins to manifest, it is the glory of the latter. It surpasses whatever has happened before. Amen. It is the grand finale of what God wants to do. God himself wants to come on the scene and manifest the fullness of his glory. And once that is done, we all check out. That is very, very, very. So it takes the mercy of God, folks. It is not of him that will it. Not of him that run it, but to whom God will show mercy. And mercy is given to the honest. So we need more and more measures of mercy daily, frequently. That's why the Bible says in Leviticus, I didn't turn there 6. He said the fire must not go out on the altar, on the burnt offering. Praise the Lord. So, and why is this important? Just to mention in passing, is God is in the process of making another vessel. Somewhere in the book of Jeremiah, he says, I went to the potter's house. And they said he was making our vessel upon the wheel. That wheel speaks about the fivefold ministry. The potter there is the Holy Spirit. He begins to use that wheel to correct the mad image of that vessel. And for himself, he begins to make another vessel. But what I'm saying is, you understand, as I'm just typing myself to explain to us. You see, that refiner is coming to his temple. That's because of remaking that vessel. Praise the Lord. So why is this important? See, we are in the acceptable year of the Lord. And in the day of vengeance of our God, a year of the witness of new births, say new births, new beginnings, upgrade in which we are to present our bodies holy and acceptable to God. Pastor has taught us. Also, let me mention it. I've already spoken about it. So just like Pastor shared with us, God gave life, resurrection life, to the body of Abraham and Sarah that passed the age of having any children. And he told them, he said, according to this time of life, 1 year's time, in the next year, this is what came last year, at the transition between last year and this year, the what time service. So at this time, upon them, I said, Sarah said, he was to give birth to a son. When that word came, I didn't laugh in terms of, I said, God, will this thing really, really be possible? It's because you, maybe that watch night service, you didn't even pray before coming to church. So it's like, ah, God, I didn't even pray this morning. And you're saying this will happen this time next year. Yes, it will happen. God is not a man to lie. That's why you're going to take the mercy of God. That's why when you will and you run, when that thing can't go again, tap into the mercy of God. Say, Lord, please have mercy on me. Are you following me? So also, God is going to bring us to a place of experiencing new birth. Are you following me? Of a life of God in our mortal flesh. By the mercy of God, which is very, very important. We are in the transition now between the holy place and the most holy place. In the Old Testament, God told Moses, he said that you should put a veil to divide the holy place from the most holy place. Exodus 26 verse 33. And it is that veil that has separated the entire human history from entering into the most holy place, which is our destiny. Are you following me? He says, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place, Feast of Tabernacles. So you see, it talks about Pentecost here and moving across to Tabernacles. So you see, if you don't cross within the veil, across the veil into the most holy place, that is that veil. You want to talk about the veil again? Lord Jesus Christ said that veil is the flesh. Amen. Hebrews chapter, help me, Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. So that veil there is not the physical veil that Moses hung, but the type of the flesh speaks about the sin nature in his soul and the body. Are we there? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's important. Now next verse. Say, by a new and what? A living way. That's the way of love. Which he had what? Consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, the flesh. So there's no ambiguity clear there. So it's the sin, there's nothing bad in the flesh, the pastor has taught us. But it's the sin nature in the flesh that hinders us from entering in. Are you following me? And it's an individual thing, talking about perfection again, before it becomes a corporate thing. Absolutely. Just like it's only one person that enters the veil, the high priest. You know, all the others stay outside. So you can only one person you can enter individually, that becomes corporate. It's not a corporate thing. There has to be the breaker company like that high priest that go inside. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Yeah, Pentecost, yes, sir. Pastor is not corporate. Pentecost is not corporate. So tabernacles automatically cannot be corporate. We all have to press. Paul said, I, not us, press toward the mark of the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So everybody must press toward the mark. I follow me before it becomes a corporate thing. Praise the Lord. So the second point I put here is that the Lord is coming suddenly into his temple as a refiner's fire, seeking for vessels it can manifest his glory to. Mommy was sharing about this last year, about refiner's fire. He's going to come and sit as a purifier of silver. Malachi chapter 3 verse 2. I think it's 2 or 4. I think it just goes to 4 because of time. 4. And it shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and it shall do what? Purify. Say, purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer up unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Meaning that the offering of Levi before this time has not been done in righteousness. Amen. Which comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't look at it from the Old Testament point of view. Next verse. Then the consequence of this will not affect the church. Say, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem, because of what Levi has done, because they've undergone the purification. Are you following me? And Judah be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years. Don't be afraid when you see refiner's fire. God is not going to bring down fire like we think about. Pastor has taught us many years ago. You know, say, who shall stand when he appeared? If you take that stand to Ephesians, it says, having done all to stand, stand there for some. You are praying to utter prayer. That's how you're going to stand. Bible says that who can stand? Anger is outrageous, envy is something. Say, who can stand before envy? It is not that put on the whole armor of God, love. So don't mind saying, who shall stand when you pray? Don't think about God appearing and then fire consuming you like in the Old Testament. No, that fire is going to come from within, the fire of intercession. I said, every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. It is that fire. You see what God has done? He has intensified, he has increased the intensity of the fire in us. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 4. Help me just to concentrate, Lord. Proverbs 25 verse 4. 25 verse 4. Say, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall what? Come forth a vessel for the finer. So the issue is the dross, which must be taken away. They take away the dross from the silver or from the gold. And the fire that will burn, when they heat that thing up, the impurities will come to the top. That is the fire of intercession. You see, but if you don't take away the dross from the silver, they will not come with forth a vessel for the finer. I'm going to mention the other side of this as I go on, because I said it's the deal of acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. So you see, if you don't present that body, we will present that body by the grace of God. So you see, in trying to remove the dross, if you don't allow yourself to go through a fire, then that vessel that is mad may not be useful for the master's use again. That means you will be condemned with the dross. Are you following me? No. Just one point before we move on again. Because I said God wants to manifest his glory. And a scripture came to my house, Brian. Mark chapter 2, verse 21. The master was talking. He said something. He's talking about not putting old wine in old bottles. And we there say, no man also sweat a piece of a new cloth. That piece speaks of your body. Garment, on an old garment that is has the same nature. Here's the new piece that filled it up, take it away from the old, and the rent is made worse. The Bible says in Psalm 45, says, all that garment smell of myrrh and aloes. Are you following me? It talks about you. So he said, God said, I cannot, don't put old garments on an old piece of new clothes. He said, we'll spoil it. Next verse. Use the same typology, same thing. He said, and no man put that new wine in old bottles. What? Revelation, whatever you can. It also represents the anointing we're talking about. He said, why? Else the new wine does burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be mad. I don't, because of its nature. But new wine must be put in new bottles. So we're doing the same things to explain what we're trying to say. That is, we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice so we can collect that wine, manifest that glory. So like I said, the other side of this is this. Like Pastor was sharing with us in the book of talking about false prophets. The flesh is the problem. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10, verse 14. He said these people, they have one characteristic that Pastor was sharing with us. This is the other side of it. We need to mention it, not to make us afraid. It is not our portion. But see, if we don't allow that to happen or present that body, one will not be able to carry that glory. Either the borrowed, which gives us hope because we are practicing. Everybody say practice. Practice. That's what God demands of us because we are not yet there. But there are going to be people that are going to carry that glory in his fullness. Then on them, God will now take some and put on us that are practicing. So we must be practicing until we get perfect. So it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. So the other side of this is, Pastor, I don't want to go to it. Pastor will share with us. That's why there has to be judgment in us. God has to remove this set of people. This leadership that all they do is to walk after the flesh. They refuse to present their body like Vashti. Refuse to present herself to the king. And she was rejected. I follow you. Verse 18. Just to mention 18. It says 18 because of time. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity and they did what? Allot to the loss of the flesh, too much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from whom? From them who live in error. So what are we saying? God, for this to take place, it's not in my notes. God has raised up and is still going to raise up a perfect leadership after David's heart. Bible says, I will give you the sure message of David. It is under the David covering that I'm going to get that sure message every day. You get that? So, you see, but there's a leadership that all they do is war after the flesh. So God has to remove them. That's why you recognize, the Bible says that book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5 talks about that boy in Corinth. He says that deliver such a one to Satan. Why? Because he allowed the flesh to dominate him. He was under covering but was not enjoying covering. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But what I want to say, I said this some time ago, Paul said deliver such a one. After he repented, Paul said, I can put this way, that same power delivered him from. So that is the advantage of those of us that are practicing and are not yet there. Praise the Lord. So, Luke actually used a scripture to explain this. Or like, let me mention some pastor mentioned the other time. He said the guarantees about divine healing and health when he was sharing, you know, last year about life of God. This is the guarantee. Like I was sharing the other day, I said there was a day I was praying and I was a bit, at times I look at my body, I'm like, God, I'm getting older. The things I used to run up and down, I find difficult to do them again. So I begin to manage my time, manage my energy. You know, like you manage your money so it doesn't finish. So I don't have time to waste again. So I was a bit, I was praying, I said, Lord, if I have stories that people die, this one died, this man of God died. And God now spoke to me. He used that same blessing I shared the other day. And from Lifeport, when they used to rent a house before they got to their permanent site. And he told me, he said, if Lifeport in the natural, when they were in their temporary site, we used to rent different buildings, rent a building. The tenants, the landlords were eager to give them the building because each time life ought to rent that building, they would do it up, they would paint it, they would do everything to it so that they leave it in a better state than they got it. So say, if life ought to do that, do you think if you give me your spirit, soul and body, I will abuse that body like a bad tenant? He said, the only problem is this, if life ought to rent that building now and the landlord says, okay, you can use the main house but don't touch the boys' quarters, let's say maybe that is your soul. Then, if you don't allow that to happen, then I'll not be able to take care of that soul. So that's why it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And God guarantees that He's going to preserve that body. I follow Him. So He guarantees divine healing and health. I remember what Kenneth said some time ago when he was ministering. He said the main way that God wants Christians to live divine healing and health is by Romans chapter 8. When you pray in the morning, Spirit God will give life to that body. It's like servicing it. He just quickened it. He said, we are supposed to lay hands on. Now, I'm not saying it is wrong to lay hands on Christians. Once there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders. But the primary way for us to walk in divine healing every day is that when you wake up in the morning and you pray, not that you're not praying, God heal my body. Once you start praying and start traveling, you're going to give life to that body. So it keeps in that state. That's what the master did. Praise the Lord. I use scripture to explain this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 13. As I was praying, God brought my pastor shared about it. One small exhortation some time ago. He said, meat for the belly and belly for the meat. He said, the Lord is for the body. What are we saying? Paul was in that analogy. He said, look, the belly is for food. So when you eat food, the body, the stomach begins to assimilate, remove the necessary things to sustain that body. So the same spirit that is in you is for that body. So when you begin to pray, when you put in the word of God, the life of God, the spirit of God now put that life in your body. So as I said, the Lord is for the body. The body is not for fornication. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So that is what we are trying. That body is for the Lord as you present it to Him. And I said just in passing, I mentioned it, that it's those that present themselves to Him that He will present to Himself. You see, there is a two aspects to it. Ephesians 5 says that by washing of water by water, that He may present to Himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Now, where we are reading, says Paul says, presenting your bodies. So it's a living. So it's two things. It's not God can't do without you. Now, can you do without God? That's why you need the mercy of God. I follow me. So it is those that do that. Yeah, then God, yes. So, and it's as you do that, that you qualify for the bold anointing. It's those that are doing that that will qualify for that bold anointing. Like when God told Moses, this work is too much for me. You want to kill me? Ah, God, I can't do it. He said, okay, go and pick people. He didn't say, but yeah, I'm sure you know that. Moses will not go and pick people like Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. Of course. God, sons of Korah, he will not go and pick them. You go and pick people. Said, God said, those that you know. Let me put it this way. Those that are presenting their bodies. Said, bring them to the tabernacle and take the spirit upon you and put it upon them. Praise the Lord. So, and pastor also said that. They said he's going to, this is a guarantee for this manifestation of the power of God. He gave us a scripture about when Paul took handkerchiefs from him. But I'll just quote another scripture, Acts chapter 20, verse 9. When Paul was preaching one day, And he kept preaching and 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 preaching. All of a sudden, one boy from the third loft fell down. And when he fell down, you see, pastor said, they tested. Paul tested. That's why I said, I pressed toward the mark. He said, that's what it's for. When he said, I'm a stripper, it's to whether to depart or depart. He was not only thinking about it, but said, look, I want to really enjoy. But it was not for his time. But see, the tested of the path of the age to come. See what happens. So when this guy fell down and he died, to save time, verse 10, what does it say? Verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him and out embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. No, he put it back. He had excess in his body. He had excess. So just transferred it in. Enough to heal the body. Raising from the dead. That's what more than the miracles took place. Bones must have been broken. Things must have happened. He just said, don't worry, don't trouble yourself. This is what God wants to bring us to. God wrote that in the scriptures for us so we can know it is possible. Yes. Paul was a man of like passions. So that come times you are somewhere, you just once like that. And the guy stood up. And you notice they continued preaching. They did not stop the sermon because of the miracle. Neither I was thinking about it. Neither they're going to stop the service when the judgment begins the body of Christ. Same thing Ananias and Sapphira fell. You see, the church is coming to a place of maturity that will begin to agree with God. God kills somebody and then you start crying. So what are you trying to say? God, in connection with that. That's what I'm trying to say. But they've come to the understanding that whatever God does is done in love. So what is done in love? They didn't stop the service. They continued, the wife came, the same thing happened. Why? Because God is love. I asked God that question some time ago. I said, God, why vengeance? Why vengeance? But you are love. He made it so simple for me to me. He said, this is what I mean by vengeance. He said, if you have a body, the person is sick, maybe he has cancer. He said, number one, I said, vengeance is mine. It is not yours. So you take that person to the hospital, they will go and meet the right consultant that is trained for that job. So they will remove that part. Now, if they are removing that part now, is that wickedness? Is what they can save that person or the body. So there are some things that God has to remove from the body of Christ, which if it does not remove, the body is going to ultimately die. So you see, from that point of view, then vengeance is not something that makes you afraid to preserve the body. Or like you are playing a football match, and then the captain, maybe it's Messi or whatever, he's not playing very well. And say, leave him because he's the captain. No! You remove the leader. People, and he won't be offended. That does not mean he's not going to heaven. No! You go and join the crowd of witnesses on the bench. They will continue to hate the other people. I'm moving in and out of, are you following me? Yeah. So are you going to say, why did you remove Messi? Stop the game? Are you going to be crying? No! We have a match to win, folks. So God is going to say, okay, no problem. Coach, a good coach, you say, okay, Messi is not playing well today. Messi has been playing since the first minute. Diamond is tired. There are some men of God that are tired today. So God will just remove them. They put up a number now today. They say, oh, come. I don't Messi is number 10 or whatever. I can't remember. It's 10. Oh, yeah, please come. Please come. And then, you know, all those that are sitting on the witness stand, they'll be clapping for him. But well done, you have tried. And you'll sit down. You will get this reward. But you say, we're not bring somebody younger. In the days of thy youth, or power, thy people shall be winning. So now bring us young people that can finish the job, so we can win the match. Finish the race. So is that wickedness? So we are coming to a place that begin to understand the love of God. Somebody gets healed. We don't stop the service because of that. We keep on preaching because the word is the most important thing. God does something that doesn't look okay to us. You don't cry. When you understand that I was saved to us by fire, and you understand that you're not going to start crying. That's why I told Aaron, say, Aaron, if you cry, God wasn't trying to be, because if you start crying, can you imagine a high priest crying? What will mean is that every other person now begins to judge God unfaithful. God, can you do that, God? That is wickedness. Far be it from God. So that experience, that's not in my notes. So help me, Holy Spirit. So why it is important for us to do this? The last point I'll put there is this, because it's that anointing. I won't go there because of time. Bible says you must not put it on flesh. Now, it's not that it's not going to be on flesh. He's talking about the sin nature. You know why? So when you have a flesh, talking about the sin nature, just coming to me. You know why I said it was all put on flesh? That flesh contains the sin nature. So imagine what happened to the anointed chair with that covering. You don't get. Look at how Satan is using that corrupt anointing to misbehave. So now I have to put that same thing on a Christian that's been governed by the same nature. Pastor said that it's going to do worse than Satan did. And likeness of God. Satan was not made. So as I said, he said, don't put it on flesh. It's not physical flesh. He said, I've got to pour out my flesh upon us. As I said, he said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh of his affections and lusts. Are you following my train of thought? So as I said, don't put it on flesh. That is those that have not crucified their flesh are not in that process. I've given up. They don't believe in it. He said, don't put it on them. I don't want that Lucifer in my hands. So how do we get to do this? We're going to stop now by the grace of God. We're going to do this daily by the mercies of God. Like I said, I'll say, that mercy there, the pastor has talked about it, is in plural. It's not just a one-time mercy. Mercies. It comes to us in measures. I said, Lord, please have mercy on me. Like I said at the beginning, you notice that when we started recently, pastor has brought the aspect of the mercy of God's been there. But now we receive mercy frequently. So Lord, please have mercy on us in this regard. Lord, have mercy on us in this regard. Why? Because it's going to take, like I said earlier on, the grace and the mercy of God to finish this work. Grace will do it thus far. But when you're willing and your running fails, which will surely fail, after then you have to tap into the mercy of God, which is only dependent really on the honesty of your heart, which is tied to your grace. As you confess your sins, you have exercised honesty. And Lord, please have mercy on me. So we tap from that mercy. That mercy comes from outside. The same place that the power of the enemy comes from outside to try and impinge on your flesh. Can you get the connection? So that's what we're going to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 9, verse 16, as we begin to round up. Oh, Jesus. 16. So it is not of him that what? Willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God assureth mercy. It is important to will. So don't go home and say, I won't wait and pray tomorrow morning. Bible says, shall we receive grace of God in vain? God forbid. Nor of him that runneth, but of God assureth mercy. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Say, let him take up his cross daily. Let's go. Let him take up his cross daily. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. You must pick up your cross daily. I want Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to explain. I'll read downwards. We mentioned it earlier on. You see that process that Paul begins to explain. Romans chapter 8. Let's begin to read. I'll read slowly so we can understand. Say, take up your cross daily. That cross there speaks about crucifying the flesh by the Spirit, in which you put the life of God in your body to act as an anesthesia. Are you following me? So that your body that day will not respond to sinful stimuli like Pastor has told us. Are you following me? It's very easy to know. Because on days you do it properly, you find that when things come into your stomach, whatever kind of sin you can imagine, people, they find it going to aggravate you. You're just going to be calm. As I said, Pastor said the other day, he said, except you be reprobate. He said, how are you going to know? We know from the word. I know from within. So you just calm. Somebody's trying to get you angry, just calm. And just smile. Like Jesus Christ. When he came back and he went out fishing, the flesh led them. He didn't say, you are God. He said, children, do you have any meat? You think he was happy? He was happy with them? 3 years of ministry to them? Go back to when I was coming out from the Mount of Transfiguration. When he got back with the three, and the man came and said, excuse me, I brought you to your disciples, and they could not do anything. You know what he said? I said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, to his disciples, his own disciples. How long? That is, in the space of maybe, that was before 1 and 3 years, he expected them to have dealt with that situation. God is expecting us to be able to deal with some things. So by the time he comes back, or you are given an assignment, you have just done it. Okay, yes, well done. You faithless and perverse generation. How long will I suffer you? He wasn't even talking to them. But they aggravated, but he just kept quiet again. He was angry, but did not sin. He said, okay, no problem. Okay, bring him to me. Then you see, they were not offended like you and I would have been. I can pastor say I'm perverse and I'm faithless And I've been working with him for how many years? That's what I would say. In my heart, that's what I would say. He didn't say it in the quiet. To you, say it's an embarrassment before that father boy. Open rebuke. Everybody heard it. Even the boy with the demon heard it. The demon also heard it. But see what I'm saying? He immediately said that. But see, the key is they were not offended. He said, thank you, sir. They went back to him because he said, okay, Pastor, please, why couldn't we cast it now? But the issue is no, it is true, I'm faithless. It is true, I'm a dog. It is true, I'm perverse. I'm my generation. Fact, because of his sin nature. Fact, but God, why couldn't we say, okay, let me explain to you. Because of your unbelief. He said, this kind cannot go out except by fasting and praying. That means at that time, those guys should have been fasting. You are still living on the scripture that said that who will the bridegroom until he's taken away? Why would they fast? They are still living on that scripture, not knowing that there has been a transition from the holy place to the most holy place. He's like, oh, yeah, not bad. That's a joy. I'm going to leave in a few months' time. I follow what I'm trying to say. So, but they were not offended. So that means from that day onward, they dealt with unbelief and they began to fast and they began to pray. Not like John the Baptist prayed, but like he prayed. It's very important. Or the demon will not go out. So, Romans chapter 8, let me begin to read. And Jesus, okay, let's leave this perverse generation. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that does what? Raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Quicken is old English. Shall give life. He shall, not maybe, give life to your mortal bodies by spirit that dwelleth in you. Next verse. He's talking, it's continuous. Say, so therefore, brethren, present you. That's where mercy comes in. Can you see? I've done this thing over and over, and I've stumbled. But see, the same therefore here, same therefore, Romans chapter 12. I only done mercy of God. He didn't mention it. Says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Say, not to the flesh. That means that you can overcome that flesh. There is a way of escape for you, so that flesh no longer govern you and I or control us. Say, but there is not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, why? Next verse. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You see, everybody, if rapture does not come on time, some of them, you die. But he's saying you're going to die very early, premature death. That is the key to many Christians. But he said, the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. So he said, Jude, so much. He said, look for myself unto eternal life. He said, so as by fire, snatching some from this blessed state. It's spotted. You see, it is those garments like that boy in Corinth. So he said, you shall die, but if you do spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We're all going to live in Jesus' name. Next verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you don't follow that process, you cannot be led by the Spirit of God. You will be led by the same Spirit that controlled Saul. How many times I shall also explain? Stubbornness and rebellion. Now let's move to verse, let's jump to verse, where is the Holy Spirit? 23. 20, yes. 20, okay. Okay, okay. 26 of time. 26 because of time. 26. Likewise, and it is in the same way, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, in the same way that Lord Jesus Christ took our infirmities, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, takes altogether with us against. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't want time to sound there. Next verse. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because what let's together, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God. A scripture just comes to my heart. It's one in Thessalonians. He said, this is the will of God, that you present, God, I can't remember. You just even your sanctification. Yes, even your that one is first. Even your sanctification. He said, First Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, this, yes, down after where he says, God help me. He says that this is the will of God. I'm talking about that will of God. Here the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, more, yes, sir, without ceasing, anything blanks is the will of God for you, concerning you. There's another one, sir. He says that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Yeah. That is it. That is it. So, link that will of God that the Holy Spirit is praying about. In Romans chapter 8, say, make a suggestion for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what is that will of God? For this, says God, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Fine, that you may abstain from fornication. Then, five, Testament chapter 5. What does that one say? It said, sanctify you wholly. So look at that word. I'm linking that word, the will of God, poor intercession. Are you following me? Five, twenty-three. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless on the coming of Christ. So link those three scriptures. They just came to me in a flash. You see, the first one says the Spirit of God makes that for us according to the will of God. What is that will of God? Which is this will of God? Even your sanctification. What is that sanctification? That is the death. Sanctify your spirit, soul and body. Can you get the link? So it takes the Spirit of God, releasing the money of through intercession to present that body to do the will of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, and that is exactly what the master did while he was on earth. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. The fact that he had a measure, you see, the life in his body must not drop on particular threshold level. Or else he will sin. So each time he went out and he gave out that power, they held his garments and were healed. He would disappear and pump it back in excess. Press down. Shake it together and run over. Because it must not get below. Our problem is that every morning, after we finish praying, I'm my own experience, not all the time, and I go up. Before it is 11 o'clock, I've dissipated the anointing. And at times, if I get out of the house, of course, you know who I'm staying with, my wife. I would have dissipated everything before I come out. I'm not saying. But you know, it's so embarrassing at times. You prayed. Woken up about 4 o'clock, you've done everything, then you're like, God, thank God, then this is going to be a fine day. And before you go out, then this one happens. You haven't even gotten to school or work yet. Everything has already gone down. So, what are we saying? The master was saying, you in the days of his flesh, take up your cross daily. Offered up what? Prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able for that. And it was what? It was heard and that he feared. But what I was saying, he did it daily. Daily, because each time he went out, it wouldn't have dropped. But he could measure it. It must not drop to a certain level, or else he would be in trouble. God forgive my language. So he will make sure that the thing comes down. It's coming down quickly, like he's checking your car. It's going, by the time he's getting to half tank, it doesn't be like some of us, I'll get to empty, then go buy 4 liters. No. That is why you have to keep on praying all the time. He keep on topping up. The other day said that he woke up a great time and went to pray and pray. And then he came and he said, King, it will just disappear. He will be watching the gate. He had the gate in his spiritual eyes. Look at this, it's coming to harmful. And Satan too is watching it. So he will just quickly go back, fill up again, full tank, gas. Then it goes again. That's why I said that is what is going to characterize this Feast of Tabernacles. I'm just confirmed. He says that. He said, in the midst of the feast, John, he said, whosoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I have to keep on drinking, because drinking is that compel. You feel and feel. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth when he prays the morning. When I begin to pray, Father, I confess our sins. Just myself tells, washing feet, what is happening? With the increase of your lips, shall he be filled with stammering lips and a right tongue? Will he talk to these people and they will not hear? So when you begin to pray, I confess my sins, you just marvel and over. You're stopping up again. That's what it is. So you satisfy your belly in the morning. When you come out, you have again, the increase of your lips shall be filled. Just fill up again. With stammering lips and another tongue. Shall I speak to this people? So every 6 hours, I have an opportunity. Like that person said, those booster stations, you just stop. You don't. Where do you want to go, Pastor? I need to use the bathroom. Between me and God, I need to use the bathroom. At times, people call me. I say, I'm in a meeting with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not lying. Because if you don't learn, if you don't, just say meeting. Now, I don't put Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They'll say, I'm crazy. I say, I'm in a meeting. I'll call back in 3 minutes. So, Why? Quick, go and pray. Top up again. Top up again. Top up again. I follow him. Praise the Lord. And I can experience that. Thank you, the Spirit. So that's what God has been wanting us to do. Let's go back to that scripture. There's another scripture I just mentioned in Mark 9, verse 49. We'll close with that. What does it say? Okay, we stammer lips and another tongue, we talk with you. That's how you fill up or top up. Next, Mark 9. Help me. Okay, what does it say? It says that for everyone shall be salted with fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Everybody say fire. Say salt. Fire. Salt. You see, that salt there, Pastor Aristotle speaks about the life of God. Pastor said, let your words be full of grace, seasoned with salt. It's the life of God you put inside. When you put that life inside, then you will salt it with fire. Father, I confess our sins in Jesus' name, I have life. Then you pray in the Spirit, that's the fire of the Holy Spirit. Say, like, baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So as you do that, what happens? You know, you now become a sweet smelling savor. You will now rise to God. You see, because, you know, it is flesh that they burn on the offering, on the burnt offering. They burn it. You see, they will want to season it. When they season it, they burn it. So when it is acceptable, it will rise up. As sweet smelling savor. Like the sacrifice of Noah and his sons. Are you following me? So it goes up. But if it's not acceptable, the thing will just... Our bodies will be presented in Jesus' name. So you know, that's what God wants us to do. So you know, like somebody who are roasting meat somewhere, just to... Before looking so serious. You know what they call our son? No. That's when they begin to... They have seasoned it. Then they put fire there. Then begin to smell. Say, God begins to look for you everywhere. Yes, I want to partake from you today. That is how you present your body daily, a living sacrifice. Like I said in Leviticus 6, I don't have time to somewhere there. He said the fire must not go out on the altar, on that burnt offering. It must be totally burnt. So you must keep on putting salt, putting fire, putting salt, putting fire. As you do that and you present yourself, the glory will appear. And once it appears, it will finish the job. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Spoken like a true prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for that word. You know, it's a what you call present truth. It's what the Spirit of God is saying. This is what we ought to be practicing now, as we are in great expectation of the glory of God. Pastor Joey said it beautifully. Put the salt fire. As you know, that's your own, what you are doing. Then as you're doing that, like guys who are rowing the boat, you're rowing, then suddenly the Lord will come and then finish. See, we can't finish it by ourselves. It is the coming of the glory that will finish it. But we must be in the process of finishing. That's very, very important. It is those who are working that the glory will finish for them. Those who are idle, who are not doing anything, the glory will not finish it. In fact, the glory won't even come to them. Because if the glory comes to them, it will destroy them. You know, we said this many, many times. Fire for... gold and silver it refines, for wood and earth it destroys. It's not the fault of the fire, it's the fault of the material. And that's why you need to put yourself in the right place. The ministry of the word has been so good. I just want to emphasize one or two things that Pastor Dewey said. He said it, he was talking quite fast. So sometimes the emphasis isn't as clear as it should, as it could be. Let me say that. You know, there's a two-stage process. You present yourself, then God will present himself to you. He'll present you to himself. So it's a two-stage process. You first of all present yourself as a living sacrifice by the mercies of God. When you do that, then God will present you a glorious church without having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. But you will not be
God cannot present you to himself if you have not presented yourself. Very, very important point. God cannot present you. He says he's going to present to himself a glorious church. God is going to present to himself. But all the people that God presents to himself originally presented themselves to God and made their bodies a living sacrifice. This is extremely, extremely, extremely important. I think one other very important thing here that was brought out, which is, I believe, is very encouraging, you know, was the fact that, you know, while you're rowing and you're putting out your effort, don't give up. Because the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. And once he comes suddenly, it will just finish. The finishing will be like instantaneous process. The rowing is a continuous process. So we continue to present our bodies daily as a daily sacrifice. But as we continue to do that, the Lord will come suddenly. And when he comes suddenly, it will just finish what we've been doing all this time. But we cannot finish without the glory. But the glory will only finish those who are already working. That's very, 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 very important. It's very, very, very important. So you must continue to work on this. The other, I just noticed some things here. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the word transformation. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the word transform is from the Greek word metamorpho. That's where we get the English word metamorphosis from. It's amazing. I don't know why the translators, I think they were afraid. You know, we, and it's not a bad thing to fear God and just keep the 2,000 cubits. It's exactly the same word, transfiguration. No difference. I was, why didn't they translate it transfiguration? Well, you remember when Jesus was on the mountain with Peter and James and John? He took them onto the mountain, and the Bible says, and he was transfigured. Give me that. It's Luke 17. I believe it is. Luke 17, I believe, verse 1. I think it's Luke or Matthew, one of them. I think it's Luke. Is it Luke? Is it Luke? Luke. I think it's Matthew. Matthew, yes. Matthew 17. Now, he said, and he was what? Transfigured. This Greek word translated transfigured is exactly, there's no difference. I don't know why the translators didn't have the nerve to say, and be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. I said, no, you know, let's just use transformed. You know, we are human beings. It was only the Lord that can be transfigured. But no, the real thing is that we are actually transfigured. And he was transfigured before, and his face did shine. How many want your face to shine? The Bible talks about the glory that is in the face of Jesus Christ. That same glory is for us. It's not only, you know, everything Jesus did, he did it for us. So that we could be, you know, that's why we're joint heirs. The same thing. He said, and transfigured, and his face did shine, and his as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What happened here was that the glory that was inside Jesus' spirit, God temporarily allowed it to come out. So they now saw his face shining like the sun. Then they now saw his clothes glistening. You know, but you what the point I want to make to us here, and is a great blessing and encouragement to us, is that that was always inside. It didn't just happen on the mountain. It was always there. It was there from once he reached maturity. You know, from 30 years old, he was always there. He just decided to turn it on so that you can see, and then he turned it back off. When I say turned it off, it didn't go off, but you couldn't see it anymore on the outside. But it was still there. When you get transformed, that same glory will come on the inside of you. And once in a while, God will let it shine on the outside. Man will see it and then God will put it back inside. Hallelujah. And that's what this fire does. The fire causes a transformation or a transfiguration. The same glory that covered Adam when he was in the garden before he sinned. Adam and Eve were carrying light. They carried the glory of God. That's why it says, all I've seen, I've come short of the glory of God. When they sinned, the glory went off. But what they lost through sin, Jesus has restored back to us. Hallelujah. So through Jesus, we get that glory back and that transformation. So God, let's use the word transfiguration. Hallelujah. And notice, you know, let's again blow your mind. You notice that this is not a glorification or resurrection. Jesus was still in his physical body. He was still in this flesh. In fact, our body died. Remember? They put him on the cross. They crucified him. He died. It was a natural body. If you put a knife inside, it will kill it. It did for Jesus. Remember the soldier pierced it. This same body that manifested the transfiguration. What does it tell us? It means that our physical bodies as they are now are capable of manifesting the same glory. Amen. 3-4 amens. I know these things always stagger us. But really, that's what all this is all about. The fire. The glory. We're supposed to manifest it in this mortal, this same human natural body. You know, we're going to get a glorified body later. But as the body is now, it can show forth the glory of God. Just like Jesus' natural body here showed it forth. And that's what Paul was talking about when he says, and be ye transfigured. The same Greek word. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And that inner transfiguration will cause you to prove by experience the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. In other words, people will see you and see the perfect will of God. There's some dandy things, if I can use that expression. Let me use a scriptural expression. There are some wonderful things that are going to take place in this end time. That's just going to... I like that scripture Pastor Dewey brought out. I hadn't seen that scripture before. I mean, I've seen it, but I haven't seen it in that light. I think Noel Woodruff, he mentioned that scripture glancingly when he came to preach to us many years ago. That startled. You know, I remember that, you know. But I thank God for Pastor Dewey bringing it into our remembrance again. It's going to startle. You know, the word startle means it will make you wow. 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 It will startle the nations. People will see the glory. Ah! And you know the funny thing? They're going to say, and these are just men like us. Remember Peter and John? He said that they recognize this. These are fishermen. These are unlearned men. And they said, then they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. When you show forth the glory, you will startle the nations, and they will take note. Oh, these are the same people. He says in Isaiah 61, he says this way, he says, and they will recognize this is the seed that the Lord has blessed. Men shall call you. It will not be all this minister that's printing card. It won't be this one. Everybody is a minister of God. You know, everybody is. Today, the word pastor has become like a curse word. You know, everybody is a pastor. You see this one, pastor. This one, you know, it's so common, you know, and they've dragged it in the mud. You see all kinds of rubbish inside the newspapers. Pastor raped somebody. Pastor did this. A pastor did that. It's always on the, you know, I saw in the papers, you know. Pastor does this inside their congregation. Pastor did this. Pastor does that. You know, everywhere you go now, you just see pastor. the hour is coming, and now is when you will not carry that title lightly. Say, these are the ministers of God. Says, and the Gentiles, you will startle the nations. You know, we have to show something that the world doesn't have. Well, what's the difference? I mean, if you're a good man, I use the word good in quotes, because Jesus said there is none good but God. All goodness comes from God. But let's, for argument's sake, let's say someone is a good man. You know, what do we mean by that? He's morally upright. Do you understand? He's honest. He doesn't lie. He doesn't steal. Do you understand? He doesn't womanize. He's not unfaithful to his wife. You know, he's honest. He's a person of integrity. Plus, he's a good man. Do you understand? And truly, he's a good man. There's nothing, you know, that's commendable. You remember the rich young ruler? How many people remember him? You know, church history tells us he was Barnabas. You know, I don't know that for certain, but it looks like Barnabas anyway. I believe it's Barnabas, you know. But church history tells us, if you read Josephus and some of the old church history, they tell you it was actually Barnabas. He got born again later on after the Acts of the Apostles. But at that time, he didn't get born again, you know. And that's why he was rich. How many remember Barnabas was rich? The Bible says he gave land and brought it to the apostles' feet in the book of Acts. Anyway, here, you know, so let's say the rich young ruler, let's keep it, you know, although I believe it was Barnabas, you know, he says he came to Jesus and he said, "What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus looked at him and said, "You know the commandments." He said, "Don't steal, don't lie, you know, etc., etc. Honor your father and your mother." And Barnabas answered him back and said, "All these things I've kept from my youth." He wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. He was a good man. And Jesus acknowledged it. The Bible says, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him. So he wasn't lying, you know, but he wasn't born again. He was a good man, but he wasn't born again. So Jesus said, okay, you want to be perfect? He said, "Go and everything you have now." He said, "Go and sell it, give it to the poor. Watch this. Take up your cross and follow me." That's always the that's where the rubber meets the road. And the Bible says, you know, Barnabas, being an honest person, he thought about it. "I can't sell everything, man. I can't sell everything and follow you like all these James, Peter, and John. These ones didn't have much to sell. They're just fishermen." It's the truth. Financially, he was not on the same level as Peter, James. I was far richer. What about God, the rich young ruler? Are you following me? He was probably, in today's something, he'll be a billionaire. Peter and James and John were probably thousandaires. They had money too. They weren't poor people, but they were not in Barnabas's class. You know? And they even didn't sell their fishing business either, anyway. You know, so he thought about it deeply. This man is asking me to do, sell all everything. I can't do it. The Bible says he was honest. Wrongly honest, but honest. When I say wrongly, he made the wrong choice. But he was at least honest about what he didn't say, "I'm going to do it," because he couldn't do it. You know, the Bible says he went away sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus used him for the topic of the next message. And said, "How difficult it is for those that trust." That's the problem. Barnabas was not very, he wasn't very sharp at that time. Because if he had done it, he would have got 100-fold in this life. You know, and interestingly, Jesus didn't preach that when he was there. He had gone. It was after he had left. Jesus now turned to, he was Peter who said, "But we have given everything away." And then he said, you know, he said, "We've given to God." And then he said, "You know, in this lifetime, you receive 100-fold. That's where that 100-fold message comes from. Praise the Lord. It came from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. So 100-fold return is okay. Amen. But it's in a lifetime and it's not in 2 weeks. Praise the Lord. Okay. But the point is this. Barnabas was a good man. As unregenerate good man. When I say unregenerate, not born again. A good man that Jesus acknowledged. Now, do you know that there are good men like that who are Muslims? There are good men like that who are Buddhists. There are good men like that who are Hindus. They're good men. I've met many of them. I've met some of them. You know, good men. Good men. They're not born again. They don't know Jesus or the Bible or anything like this. You know, some of them are Muslims. You know, there's a Muslim guy who supplies our meat. He's honest to a T. I can give him, you know, my wife and I give him money. He just takes care of things for us. So I don't have to check. I'm honest. I remember a particular experience we had. You know, we were in China. The first time we went to China together, my wife and I, this was before they went on a school trip, you know, and I was waiting, you know, we'd never been to China before. You know, I'd booked a hotel and all of that. I just wanted to go and see the place. And we're in Beijing. We came out of the airport, you know, and we're going to look for a taxi driver, you know. And I was trying to, you know, this man just walks up to me. And his English is not very good, but good enough. He said, "You look for taxi?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I registered taxi driver. I know everywhere in Beijing. Anywhere you want to go, I take you." You know, he said, "Very few taxi driver in Beijing know English, but me, I know English." So I was first of all skeptical. You know, I said, "This guy has come and meets me out." It was God who sent him. Now looking back, you know, he just come and meet me out of the blue. That, you know, he's a taxi driver. So he saw my skepticism. So he brought out they have this, like an ID to say registered, you know, and everything. And he said, "Where am I going?" So I told him to tell. He said, "I know very well. Come, enter." So he brought his car, you know, opened the place. You know, he had this lovely, it was a SUV kind of car. Took the luggage from my wife and I. Very nice man. They began to talk to us. I said, "I have sister," you know, like a girl, you know, "she speak very good English. She take you everywhere in Beijing, show you everything," you know. And that's how we got to get to know him. You know, he became our friend. And to the truth, you know, honest to a fault. You know what he did? You know, we went there another 2 years later. He took us there was a Chinese New Year. He hired a hotel room, you know, because in Chinese New Year, you take your family out and all that. He said, "You come and eat with my family." So he got a beautiful hotel, you know, a place where we would eat, brought his wife, his mother, you know, my wife and I, took pictures with us, with his children, you know. And so I want to give money. Say, "Pastor, no. You don't give me money. This is me." You know. And then his sister, you know, who spoke English, and she went to university, and, you know, it was like his cousin, really, not sister, you know, was the one that God used, you know. And when we got to know her, she took us everywhere. She could speak perfect. I told you about her the other time, you know. She could speak very, very good English, you know, told us everything, got us introduced. She had met the Nigerian ambassador, you know, when the Nigerians came, you know, so she was a part of that team of interpreters and guides. So she was a registered guide. She was only introduced to us to the former ambassador to China. So we want to now take the children on school trip, and we're going to have, because the visa thing, you had to do it in a particular time. It was the ambassador's card she gave us. I called the ambassador in the former ambassador to Nigeria, you know, Chinese ambassador to Nigeria. I called him because he knew her. So she gave me his card. We called the man. The man said, "Okay." And then they went to the Chinese embassy and said, "I'm from ambassador so and so." The door opened. True story. You know, and they now, the Chinese embassy called The man, you know, because you know how Nigerians are. Maybe just, you know. The man said, yes, yes. They made it. I spoke to them in China. Good people from good school. Everything. You know, that's how. Visa that would have taken 2 weeks, they did for us in days. You know, and we became friends with the Chinese consular. You know, took pictures with them, got to know them, you know, and all that. I said all of that to say this. That man, even though he was a Buddhist, was a very honest man. He would not take money from us. He would go, you know, whenever I wanted to go there, like when I wanted to go to China, well, he would go and buy all the tickets and do everything. Then he would come and give my wife and I an account. This is how much I spent. This is this ticket. This is that. This is that to the T. Not born again yet. Now, the sister, we got that one born again. She's now in America. She's now in New York. You know? But the point I'm making is this. They're good men. That's why don't judge people. And don't condemn people. God is working in the background. But the point I want to make is this. If you're a good man as a Christian, and he is a good man as a Buddhist, what's the difference? The glory. We have to show something that they don't have. That's where the supernatural and the glory comes in. They cannot manifest the glory of God. And until we begin to manifest the glory of God, there will be no difference between us and them. To them, there will be a difference to us because we know the Bible. But to them, there will be no difference. You know, what's the difference between you and another good guy who has a good religion? So how can you come and tell me your own is better than mine? But when they see, and they are startled, and they see the glory of God, then will come to pass that which is written. It says, they will come to thee in chains. And they will bow and say, surely God is in thee. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God tonight. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. What's the difference? You got to. This Christianity, you know, we must move above a particular that level to show the glory of God. To show the glory of God. If we don't show the glory of God, you know, the good unbeliever will not be very impressed. You know why? Because he will know he's better than some so-called born-again Christians. I hear people say that to me all the time. I remember, you know, some months ago, we're doing the 30th anniversary of my late uncle, Femi Johnson, you know, and I went to the house, you know, here in Ibadan, you know, with my cousins and my uncle and everybody, and we're just, you know, talking and just, you know, having a small, very small family celebration. Anyway, there was one guy there. He said, Pastor, and he knows me. You know, they call me Egbo, you know, because I'm senior to most of them. You know, and I said, Pastor, you know, we know you now. You know, thank God for you and everything. He said, but your people. That's what he told me. This person I'm talking about, as far as I know, he's not a Christian yet. I think his wife is. I think his mother is. You know, and then he said, oh, you know, oh, I said, I know all your people, you know, my wife is in this and, you know, and all of that. He said, you know, but your pastors lie. He said, they speak in tongues, he said, but they have no integrity. He told me straight to my face. He didn't say it to me in a bad way. He said it to me nicely with respect, you know. And I said, and I was honest. I said, you're right. I said, but the fact that some people are doing things wrong doesn't mean that the whole thing is wrong. He said, but those are the things that some of us questions that we have. He said, you're speaking in tongues. He said, you speak in tongues, but the guy still lies. And he has no integrity. And the guy who is not even born again is more honest than the guy. So how can you not convince me that your tongues is what you say it is? That God is the one who is making you speak in tongues. We who don't speak in tongues have more honesty than you who are speaking in tongues. Are you following what I'm saying? It doesn't. I don't agree with him. But what I'm trying to say is that we must have something that is above all of that. That's going to show the glory of God. That will startle the nations. And like it says there, they'll bring them to silence. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be still. Nothing short of that is going to really bring in the nations and the harvest. Because they will always be, oh my God. But when they see the glory of God, and you know that he say, like Nebuchadnezzar said, no other God can deliver after this sort. There can be no other, there is no, like Pharaoh, you know, this was in the movie, Ten Commandments. When Pharaoh's armies followed the children of Israel to the Red Sea, and God blew the Red Sea apart. This was in the film, but it was, it's based on the Bible, you know, and his, you know, the children of Israel went in. Then the fire came, and the fire did not allow Pharaoh's chariots to be able to go to give the Israelites time to cross. But the Israelites had not yet crossed. They'd gone maybe about, you know, 75% of the way. Then all of a sudden the fire disappeared. And Pharaoh, yeah, stupid. And they are going to pursue them. And the walls were still, the sea, you know, was still congealed. There was, you know, ice, you know, formed as blocks of ice. Corona Dani. And they started pursuing. The angels started taking off their chariot wheels and slowed them down. They were looking at these Israelites like this. You know, God let them get to about halfway. By that time, the last Israelites were just crossing over. It was over a 24-hour period. Do you understand? As the last Israelites were crossing over, you know, and these guys were trying to, the sea just started coming down and drowned all of Pharaoh's chariots and all. When they came back, he said, his God is God. We need that. We need to get to the place where they say, his God is God. When they see the glory, they say, your God is the true God. Talk to God tonight. He's God. Our God is the true God. Awesome God. Thank you. The world must see the awesomeness of our God. We know because we have experienced Him in our hearts. He has saved us from sin, filled us with the Spirit, given us a heavenly language to pray. You know, we've seen miracles and see miracles in our lives. We know He's an awesome God because of our own individual experiences with Him. But the world doesn't know. And it is this glory through the presentation of our bodies as a living sacrifice that we manifest it. And God is eager for that thing to show out, show forth. So the whole earth will honor Him. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that I've heard tonight. And Lord, according to Your word, I present my body a living sacrifice by Your mercy, holy and acceptable unto You. Lord, a living sacrifice for the fire of Your glory and the salt of Your word to prepare to manifest Your glory by an inner transfiguration as it is written in Your word. Oh God, have mercy on me. 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 To be faithful to daily by Your mercies to present this body a living sacrifice, crucifying the lust of the flesh by the power of Your Spirit as I seek You daily in Your word for Your life and the power of Your Spirit. Oh God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful to consistently act upon this, practice it, so that when Your glory appears, it will finish that which I have started by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Lika toloma tofrene kartofresh. Linga toloma sheliki tofrenia. Lingar tofrene fresh. Lombr doloma tulofre. Lombr kiflo kloma tulom. Lombr kloma tulom and lombr dofrufrushinkar. Lombr kloma tulom. Tolom tola lombr dofrufrushinkar. Tuk lombr tola lombr dofrufrushinkar. Tuk lombr tola lombr In Jesus' name. One last thing, just before we sit down, I'm going to the praise and worship. The scripture, I said this a few weeks ago when I ministered along these lines. You see, the Bible says the Holy Ghost and fire. We go to James chapter 3 in verse 6. Put it up on the screen. James 3:6. James 3:6. It says, and the tongue, everybody say it, is a fire, a world of iniquity. But instead of the fire of the tongue being a world of iniquity, if it is in the power of the Holy Spirit, then the same thing this iniquity is doing, the Spirit of God, the righteousness will do. So everyone say, my tongue is a fire. Say, the fire of the Holy Spirit is in my tongue as I pray in tongues. And it will cause my body to be presented as a living sacrifice unto God. In Jesus' name, amen. Give a lot of